Let's get into the message this morning. Are you glad to be here this morning? Man, I'm sure glad you did come this morning. It's good to have you here. And so I want to quickly talk this morning about pressing the play button. Pressing the stop button. There are times in our lives that we need to press the stop button. And I want to show you how and when. But here's the central thought of what I want to share with you today. Some things have to end before better things can begin. All right. Sometimes there are things in our lives where we need to press the stop button. We need to end it before better things can happen. And it's not necessarily sin. Of course, sin needs to end to take the next step. But sometimes, you know, it's a good thing that needs to end. So, for instance, in my own life, there was a time where I needed to get out of business. I owned a business for a number of years, and I needed to press the stop button on that chapter of my life. I needed to end that before I could start this chapter here at church. And it wasn't because the business wasn't doing well. It was doing pretty well. It wasn't because I wasn't enjoying it anymore. As a matter of fact, I was loving business. And I was very hesitant to come into church and full-time ministry. But here's what I want you to see. I needed to end a good thing to start a better thing. And I'm so grateful for that today. If I didn't do that, if I didn't press that stop button and end that chapter, I wouldn't be here today, and I wouldn't be experiencing what I am and what we are experiencing together. I'm so grateful. And so I think for some of you, there's a new chapter waiting. A new, something new that God wants to do in your life. And it may not be as dramatic as mine, where it was ending a career and starting it may be something a lot smaller, a lot simpler. But there's something in your life that needs to stop. It needs to end before something better can start in your life. And so let me give you a couple of examples quickly. Let's talk to the 20s quickly. For those of you who are still at home with your folks, and let me say to you, when you meet that partner, you're ready to get married, the relationship you currently have with your parents, the type of relationship will have to change. It will have to end for a new type of relationship. So I'm not saying cut your parents off and have nothing to do with them anymore. It's not what I'm saying. The nature of the relationship has to change. Listen to what the Bible says here, Genesis 2:24. We know this. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Notice that he's got to leave. Stop that the nature of that relationship. Cleave to his wife and they shall become one flesh. And of course we know this as the law of leaving and cleaving, the law of priority. And so we're never gonna be able to cleave properly until we've left. We're never gonna be able to start this relationship properly until we've stop that relationship or stop the nature. And so I'll tell you, just a good friend of ours, their son got married. And they were so excited for the son. This is a couple of years ago. Son got married and they excited for the son and loved the new daughter-in-law and everything. And so they had a certain expectation that the son and daughter-in-law were now going to, you know, obviously part of their family, which it is. And they're going to be visiting, you know, every weekend and probably, you know, at least once during the week. They're going to come for dinner and stuff like that. And so you can imagine the first couple of weeks where it didn't happen. You know, these parents were so distraught, like, what is busy happening? And then the weeks went by and they never saw the son. And it was just, this is terrible. And so their boat was rocked. And I had to just encourage them and just say to them, hey, relax. Because you see, at that stage, Liesl and I had just come out of the 20s congregation, and we had seen the same scenario play itself out time and time again, but very often from the younger couple's perspective.
And so here we're sitting with the mother and father, the older couple, and we're saying to them, just make some space for them. Just cut them some slack. And whatever you do, don't put pressure on them. Don't put pressure. And then I said to them, and by the way, this what I'm explaining now, is probably going to take at least a year. And they were like, what? This is unacceptable. I said, just cut them slack, please. And so what was I asking them to do? I was asking them to press the stop button on the parent-child relationship. You don't have a say over them anymore. You can't expect certain things to. You cannot call the shots anymore. Now you've got to develop a new relationship, a friendship relationship. And you've got to pursue that. And you've got to create an atmosphere where they want to come and visit. And they want to spend time with you. And so this took about 18 months. And so for 18 months, you know, they hardly saw this younger couple. And then obviously one day the younger couple like woke up and said, hey, I'm missing my folks, man. You know, Mom, can you make my favorite meal or whatever? Of course, come over. You know, but you know, the parents are sitting there. They are just so excited. But they had to just play along. The relationship had changed. And they and because they didn't force it and because they didn't put pressure or anything, it was easy for the kids to now come. And they had developed a friendship relationship. And I'm happy to report today they're really doing well and they'll go away for a weekend together and things like that. You see, leaving something behind means something else, someone else has become more important. And so what Scripture is saying is leave that relationship, step away a bit, because this relationship has become more important. And when we get married, our spouse, our partner, that person should be the most important earthly relationship that you and I have. And if they are not, if anything else or anyone else, a mother or father or somebody, a child even from a previous marriage, takes that position, we'll never have a great marriage. And so if you break the law of priority, it will break your marriage. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't matter how good your intentions are. Oh, but I want to be a good parent to my child, you know, from a previous marriage. It doesn't matter how good your intentions are. It doesn't matter how good a parent you are and how good a Christian you are. You violate the principle, it'll violate your marriage, all right? So one thing you and I have probably learned, figured by now, the more you come to Maranatha, the more you get into God's Word, you start realizing God always has more for us, isn't there? You know, we never get to the place where we've arrived. We keep pressing on to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of. That's what Paul says. We keep pressing on. There's always more for us. And so very often I've found before we can take the next step, before God can give us more, we go to the next level, as it were, very often we've got to leave things behind. It's almost like climbing Everest. You know, they go to certain camps, start at base camp and then different camps. And at every level, they've got to leave things behind to go to the next level. And that's exactly what happens in our relationship with the Lord. And so sometimes God will ask us to leave certain friends behind. And it's not because they are bad, it's just because they are not good for us right now. And they very often holding us back, and we're not going to be able to go forward. Listen to what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Listen to this. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, and a time to tear down, and a time to build. And so what it's saying here is there's a time to start things, and there's a time to stop things in our lives. And I want to say it again, sometimes Something has to stop before better things can start. But here's a warning. Let me just be warned, all right? Most people battle with this. It's not easy. Most people battle to end things. I've been in ministry almost 25 years now, where you're constantly helping people and spending time with people and counseling people. And I have seen this over and over and over again. People battle to end things. Whether it's a bad habit, whether it's a relationship maybe that they need to step away from, whether it's a certain lifestyle that's sinking them financially, and they know they have to change their lifestyle, change their spending habits, but they battle and they keep on spending almost blindly thinking, and the credit card just racks up and racks up and racks up. You know, I've seen people earn good salaries, but they don't come out every month. It just, they don't make it. And it's simply because they don't know how to stop certain things. And so you can sit with them and you can help them budget and go through it and say, well, what about this? Oh, no, little Johnny, we can't stop little Johnny's swimming lessons. And oh, no, we can't stop DSTV. There's no ways we can stop that. Remember what we said? Generally, people battle with us. They battle to stop things. And then I've seen other families who earn half of what these guys do, half. And they're making it. And their little Johnny seems to be surviving without swimming lessons. And the family is still okay without DSTV. They're not killing one another. As a matter of fact, the family is doing well. And they even manage to save just a little bit at the end of the month. And I look at it and I think, how do you do that? But they do. Because they're saving for a holiday at the end of the year. They're going to have a family holiday. And so here's my point. Stopping things are usually difficult, but necessary. Write it down. It's difficult, but necessary. If we're going to make progress. If we're going to achieve what God has for us. And so just be forewarned. It's difficult, but it's so, so necessary. Now, sometimes we've got to stop something that's good in order to have something that's better. So it's not always the bad things. Oh, that's bad. That's sin. Stop that nonsense. Of course you've got to stop it. But it's not always the case. Sometimes you've got to stop a good thing. So for instance, and make this very practical. In business, for instance, you'll find that 80%, and this is generally speaking, 80% of our turnover comes from 20% of our products, or 20% of our clients, or 20% of our services. It's called the Pareto principle. And so you'll find you've got all of these products, but 80% of my turnover comes from 20% of all of these products. But I've got to have all of these things in stock, and I've got to have all of the staff and all of this to service 20%. And so sometimes it's good for us to stop some of those things and to focus on this and to put our attention on this. And we're running around trying to service 200 clients, but our main income is from 40 of them, 20% of them. And so this is where we need to focus, put most of our, not all of our attention, most of our attention on that. And do you know we've done exactly that here at church? And so this church in 3 years' time is going to be 120 years old. And so you can imagine over 120 years, man, you know, we've adopted, we've had, you know, we end up with all these programs and ministries and stuff that we're doing, because it's just been all of these years that, you know, we're doing all of these things. And so you can imagine all the time and the resources and the staff that goes into all of that stuff. And so some years ago, it wasn't recently, it was quite a number of years ago, we started simplifying. And we started stopping some of those things and giving some of those ministries away, and started focusing on the four main things that we do. Because otherwise what happens, you know, your focus now is spread so thin that the four main things we can't really focus on. What are the four main things? Let me give it to you quickly. We call it the four C's. It's celebration, cell groups, courses, and children. Celebration is what we do here on a Sunday. That's our Sunday celebration, our Sunday services. Then we've got the cell groups or life groups or small groups, whatever you want to call them. That's a big part. It's very important. It's a big part of the church. Then we have the courses. Those are the courses that we advertise every single Sunday, and we'll make that available to you. And so, again, one of the main things that we do week after week after week, we do that to equip you and to help you. And then, of course, the last one is what we call children. It's an all-encompassing term, really, because we start from very, very young, from toddlers, right through to the much older children called the 20s, all right? But they're still my kids, all right? But we look after them. And so it's the little toddlers, preschool. We've got a program for them. And then we've got primary school. And then we've got a high school, which is our youth. And they meet on a Friday evening. And then we've got the 20s. Those are the four main things that we do. Now, remember we said, when you stop things, you push that button, you're going to have resistance. You're going to have some people at work, some people in your home, the person maybe sitting next to you. If you say, babes, we cannot spend this anymore, you know, this is not happening, you're going to have some angry people. I'm just warning you, all right? And so we had that here in church. We had some people who weren't happy because, you know, you're stopping certain things. But we knew there's a bigger picture and there's a reason we're doing it. And we're focusing on these four main things, and that's what we're doing. And the church has just grown since then. Why? Because we were just so much more focused in that area. And so maybe you need to consider this at home. All right? We do it in business. We've done it in church. And maybe you need to look at your home situation and say, hey, is there some stuff we need to stop here? And let me say to the mommies with children, and I know I'm treading on very, very dangerous ground. I know that. And so let me just say to the mommies, maybe, and I'm saying maybe in capitals, maybe, just consider. I'm not telling you what to do. Consider. Your kids are doing 9 different activities. Maybe consider cutting one or two of those. But Leonard, they can't, you know, because little Johnny, you know. Okay. Remember we said people battle with these things. But here's the thing. Don't focus on what you're losing. Focus on what you're gaining. That's the key. Because sometimes, oh, but we can't stop this. And how are we going to, you know, without that? Focus on what you're gaining. I'm gaining a lot more time. It's a lot less stress. It's a lot less traveling. It's a lot less fuel. And you can go on. And so sometimes we've just got to look at our situation. And for us at church, it was easy to keep doing what we're doing because we've been doing this for 120 years. How can you stop that? I'll show you how tomorrow. And so sometimes you've got to draw a line on some of these things. All right. Now, do you know that there are times where God stops stuff in our lives? God draws the line. And he even cuts that off. It's called pruning. You and I don't see it as pruning. We see it as losing. I've just lost my job. I've just lost a business. I lost a house, or I lost a car, or I lost some friends. And we don't enjoy that when that happens. Come on, let's be honest. And we've got to remind ourselves, God doesn't do it to hurt us, but to help us. It's always to help us. And at the time, granted, it's hurtful. It's traumatic. Whenever we lose something, whether it's a business or a friend, it's traumatic, and we battle with that at the time, but we've got to remind ourselves, God is using this because He's got better in store. He's got more coming our way, and that's where we've got to trust Him. Let me show you from Scripture quickly. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be, listen to this, even more fruitful. All right? So there's a good outcome. The reason God does that is because He wants good to come out of it. We may be fruitful, but He wants us to be more fruitful. Remember what we said right in the beginning? God's always got more for us. There's always another level that God wants to take us. But I want you to notice something in that scripture. He cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit, and He cuts the branches that do bear fruit. It's called pruning. So those are cut, and these that are bearing fruit, they are cut as well. And so the way I see it, you pruned if you do, and you pruned if you don't. All right? And so that simply means it affects all of us. God doesn't just prune you because there's something wrong in your life, and because you know that thing was sin, or that thing was. Sometimes God takes something away because He wants to help us become more fruitful in that area. There's more for us, and obviously at the time we don't see it, but that's where we've got to trust Him. You see, when, for instance, when God removes certain friends from our lives, it's like, oh man, you know, and it leaves a gap. And we used to bri, and we used to do this, and we used to, and now we're lonely. You know what loneliness is? An opportunity to draw closer to God. Because for a season, for a time, I'm lonely. Draw closer to God. And when you do, you'll find you're going to experience more of God. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, if it wasn't for that time, I wouldn't be where I am. If it wasn't for losing those friends, I wouldn't have made these friends at Maranatha. God has used it. And so often, there are times of loneliness and times of cutting, but God's going to use that to help us be more fruitful down the line. Trust Him through that. You know, we used to have a whole lot of iceberg roses at home. I planted those like 20 years ago, and they were just these small little plants, and these iceberg roses just grew and grew and became these massive big bushes. And so the one day, a horticulturist friend of mine was visiting, and as he walked in, he saw all of these, and he says, hey, you need to prune these things. And I was like, no, don't touch them. You know, it's taken me years to grow them like this, and look at them. You know, they're just beautiful, these big, big bushes. And then he mentioned something that I didn't know. He said, these things will keep on pushing buds and will keep on growing little branches, but eventually the plant can't sustain it because they all taking resources from one plant, one root system. You've got to prune them. And I didn't know how to prune. Of course, I was talking to the expert. And so he had some shears out there quickly from his bucky, and the next moment he's pruning my roses from the one side right to the top and showing me exactly how to do it. And so he says to me, you know, you teach me on a Sunday. Come, let me teach you. Come. And so he's busy teaching me how to prune the roses. And I must say, you know, when he was finished and I stood back and I looked at the roses, they looked terrible. And I was shocked. And I'll admit I was angry. Because he just wrecked my roses. And then he drove off. You stupid little sausage. Now I'm stuck with this chamos. So in any case, a couple of weeks later, these things started to bud. And it was just the next level. And the roses were bigger, and there was more, and it was just healthier, and it was, wow, so much so that every single year I was busy pruning the roses, and sometimes in between, you know, I'm busy pruning the roses. Why? Because I knew the end product. The cutting now, the stopping now is going to have a good result down the line. And sometimes before you and I can stop something, we've got to ask ourselves, where do I want to be down the line? What is this going to look like later on? So for instance, what do I want my family life to look like down the line? What do I want my marriage to look like down the line? We've got certain idea, certain ideals. What do I want my savings account to look like in a year's time or toward December? And then ask yourself, okay, what is standing in the way from me getting there? What is preventing me getting to that picture? What am I doing right now that if I don't stop this, I'm not going to get that? That gives me what I need to stop or what I need to change in my life. I looked at the roses and I knew where I wanted to be with them, and it made it easy to prune them now. Even though it didn't look right now and good now, I knew what the picture was going to look like down the line. Now, maybe you don't have to stop something completely, but you've got to stop the frequency. So in other words, you may have to cut back a little bit. Give you some examples. Social media. Have you noticed how some people cannot go to the bathroom without social media? Now, in my humble opinion, it's too much. You know, what's wrong with you, man? Put the thing down and go focus on something else, you know. But isn't it? You'll find some people spend too much time at the office. And then they wonder why their family life is not great. Oh, but Leonard, you know, I've got to provide. And I've got to make money, man. And I've got to make a little bit more. And I've got to climb the ladder. Let me just say to you, yes, I get that. We all have to. But your family would prefer to have a little bit more of you than a little bit more of your money. Go and ask them afterwards. I promise you that. And maybe it's a hobby. And hobbies are good. And we need that to de-stress and relax. And I need it. But too much of a good thing is also not good. And so it may be golf, and it may be fishing, and it may be cycling, and it may be running. I remember even before Liesl and I had children, we've been cycling, and we would cycle with a group every single morning. Our goal is 5 mornings a week. If we can cycle Monday to Friday, that's good. Saturday we take off. Saturday is time for the family. And we'd have the group put pressure on us. No. On Saturday, we're doing 120Ks to wherever. Enjoy it. Baba, we never used to do that. Never. Because it's wrong. No. Go knock yourself out. But for us, there's got to be balance. And so we don't do that. I've seen, and this is just what I've experienced. I've seen some of those friends. Marriages have fallen apart because it was too much. Some are living together, but terrible marriages because it was too much. And so sometimes you've got to stop the frequency. And here's what I want you to see this morning. It's not that God wants to take something from you. Is He wants to give you something. He wants to give you a better family life. He wants to give you a better marriage. He wants to give you maybe a savings account where you say, we've never really had saving. You've got to cut down a little bit. You've got to stop certain things. And so it's not that God wants to take. God's actually trying to give you something. Let me end with this last story quickly. Hernando Cortez, he was a Spanish explorer. And in 1519, now that dates back a couple of centuries, 1519, he landed on Mexican soil, Mexican shores, with 11 ships, 500 men, and 13 horses. And so the goal was to take Mexico for the Spanish crown. But he knew it wasn't going to be easy because he only had how many men? 500 men. And so with 500 men, he wanted to take that entire country, big country. He wanted to do that. And so he ordered the ships to be burnt, eliminating a possible retreat. Retreat was not an option for Cortez. And so with the ships burnt, guess what happened? The men were focused on moving ahead and moving into this new chapter. What were they doing by burning the ships? He was closing that chapter. He was pressing the stop button on that chapter, and they had to go forward. There's a new chapter ahead. And they ended up claiming Mexico for the Spanish crown. And so sometimes, I'm just saying, sometimes things have to end before better things can start. And sometimes you've got to be radical. And you've got to burn the ship. And you've got to do something radical. Remember that lady that was having the affair? She resigned. She burnt the ship because she knew in that job situation it would continue and continue and continue, because she tried to stop and it couldn't stop. She resigned and then eventually got another job and started all over again. But had she not been radical and pushing the stop button on that previous chapter, she wouldn't be where she is today. And so sometimes God stops things for us, and it's called pruning. And other times God tells us to stop stuff. And he puts it on our hearts. And he's not going to force us. And he waits for us to do it. And so it may be a bad habit. It may be a sin. It may be just something that's busy holding you back. And God's been sort of prompting you and talking to you about that, and you know that. And so it may just be flirting with somebody at the office. And you haven't had an affair, but you're just flirting, but they married, or you married. And God has been whispering, the Holy Spirit's been whispering. And maybe bad language, where God's saying, stop this thing. It may be alcohol, it may be smoking, it may be pornography or something like that. Or as I said, maybe it's social media, where it's just, you know, it's just too much. Can I ask you this morning, what has God been speaking to you about? It's been a couple of weeks already, and you know that thing. God, every now and again, God just highlights that. You know, devil sits in the front here. He's on staff with us. He shared this week how he used to smoke, and God was speaking to him about smoking. It was last week or so, I think. Couple of years ago. And so God was speaking to him about smoking, and you know what it's like. Sometimes God speaks and speaks and prompts and speaks, and eventually, you know, us guys take a long time to listen. The girls do not say amen now. And so eventually he decided to listen and to quit smoking, and he started vaping. And his wife is like, what the flip? What are you thinking? No, but you know, and you know how we can rationalize anything we want to, isn't it? Come on, that's what we do. And so she was on his case. Good for her. Can I pause that story right there? And just say to the married couples, when your spouse, and I don't know a better word, hucks eight. And unfortunately, most of the times it's the guys, but it's sometimes girls as well. Get on their case. I've had couples come and see me, and they're ready to get divorced because this nonsense has been carrying on for 2 years. And then I look at the girl, or I look at the guy. What have you done? You know, did you challenge her? Did you stop that nonsense? No, well, you know, I want to be nice. Are you mad? Come on. If this is the most important relationship that we have, come on. Then you speak into that relationship. And then you say to your spouse, hey, I don't like this language. I didn't marry you for this nonsense. This kind of behavior is unacceptable. Come on. If I do something, well, let me not say if. When I do something that little girl doesn't like, she'll say to me, Then I know. Yes, boss. So all I'm saying, I don't want to hear this nonsense where, no, well, you know, it's his life and it's her life and I can't say something. You better say something. Because when you and I stand up and say to our spouse, we're not doing that. You're not using that language. You're not hanging out with the boys every second night and whatever nonsense is going on. We're not doing that. We stop that after the third day, not the third year, when things are too late. All right, let me pick up the story again. So she's saying to him, and she's on his case, and good for her. Eventually, they're driving to church one morning, and he prays, and he says, Lord, if I'm supposed to stop vaping, because you know this stuff is not that bad, and he's trying to convince God, if I'm supposed to stop vaping, let Leonard use my name from the pulpit this morning. Now, in his mind, he thinks he's safe because we've never spoken two words. In his mind, I don't know him. I don't know his name. Plus, have you ever seen the name Diewald in Scripture? So what are the chances of me using a random name? Don't mess with God. So I'm busy talking Sunday morning about these people who we all have habits. We creatures of habits. And we sit in the same chair every single Sunday. And then I say this, just like Diewald in front here, he almost has a heart attack. And he almost falls off that chair. But he knows. It's not his wife saying, This morning, God said, enough now. I may not use your name this morning, but I've got a message from God for you. God's saying, enough now. I love you, and I've got better for you. Don't focus on what you're losing. Start focusing on my goodness and my love and my faithfulness, because I've got so much more. And so for some of you, it's an affair. You got to stop. You got to burn the bridge, but burn the ship. And for some of you, it's just a critical spirit. Instead of applauding people and praising people and encouraging them, you're critical. And God says, enough. And for some of you, you talk too easily. And you'll talk about other people. And God says, unless you can say something good, say nothing at all. Enough. And maybe for some of you, you're a people pleaser. And you say yes to everything. And sometimes you got to say no. And God's saying, I know you're just helping enough. There are times you got to say no. And sometimes we don't even realize it. By saying no to certain things, we're actually saying yes to better things. And always remember, God's not trying to take stuff from us. He's trying to give something to us. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. And so never underestimate the power of obedience. Let me say to you, if devil didn't press the button, the stop button that day, I can tell you he wouldn't be where he is today. Not a chance he'd be on staff. Because after that, there was some other stuff that he had to sort out. And God doesn't give us everything one shot. So stepping stones, one thing at a time. But remember, the stepping stones lead to a glorious destination. God has got more for you. And I'm asking you today, if there's stuff in your life where you need to press the stop button, press it. And I want to help you this morning. And for those of you who are serious about it, I want to ask you to stand. And I want to pray over your life this morning that you press that button, that you burn the ship, as it were, that you say, enough is enough. God, I hear you today loud and clear, and I'm responding. And if that's you, only for those who've really got something to deal with this morning, I want to ask you to stand. And devil's standing again. Good for you. Good for you. That's what real men do. We're not ashamed when God speaks to us. We stand to our feet and we say, Lord, here I am today. I want to honor you, and I want to live for you, not for myself. I want to please the devil. Above everything, I want to please you. And God, you've spoken to me today, again, loud and clear. And I put my hand up, I acknowledge, I ask for forgiveness, Lord. Thank you that you forgive. Thank you that you cleanse, the word says. Thank you that you've got a bright future for me. And so, Lord, today, if there's stuff that I need to burn, then help me now to do that. If it's a relationship, if it's a device that's causing me to stumble, help me to deal with that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Bless you.